a little bit of Silver Hearts to get us in the mood for Sue Ditta. A little bit of an introduction. Sue is an award-winning arts management consultant, and she's a media arts curator. She currently leads Wild Ideas Arts Consulting. It's a private arts management consulting firm that specializes in providing organizational development and capacity-building services for nonprofits, culture organizations, public agencies, educational institutions. Well, you know, for a lot of people out there. Her career spans more than 35 years. Although she's best known for her work as Associate Curator of Media Arts in the Contemporary Arts Department of the National Gallery of Canada. She also served on the Canada Council of the Arts for 6 years, has sat on many steering committees for some of Canada's most renowned arts orgs. In 2008, she was recognized with the Distinguished Alumni Award. And earlier this month, just in this month, in the month of June, she was installed as a member of Peterborough's Walkway of Fame.
I'm a lucky girl.
You are. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's start. You know, I don't think it's a luck thing. I think it's a lot of hard work and effort to get recognized. How does it feel to be recognized by the city that houses you on the Walkway of Fame?
Oh, it's just the best. I mean, I love Peterborough. I love all the things that you get to do here. There are some things you can make happen in Peterborough fast and effectively that you just couldn't make happen anywhere else. So it was a real pleasure and an honor to be part of the Pathway of Fame. And I was nominated by my beloved neighbor, Bernice Standen. And I think John Wadland and Sue Newman and Bill Kimball and Fern Crystal and a bunch of people kicked in and helped with the nomination. So I couldn't be more honored or delighted.
Well, this is a community of kinetic ideas that all of a sudden burst right into actualization. And if we take a look at a lot of these projects, well, there's Sue Ditta. You know, behind a lot of them. So congrats on that. It is very well deserved. How'd you celebrate?
You know, we haven't had the. We're going to wait till there's an event in September. So yeah, we are going to have a big party. And I think you're right about the kinetic energy in mm-hmm. Peterborough. That's one of the really cool things about living here and working in the arts here is that every time you mention an idea, there's this. It's like kind of. People start to circle around, and not in a bad way, in a really good way, and just say, how can we make this happen?
And behind every artistic endeavor, there's an army of people. Kate Story, for instance, was just recently honored for a whole bunch of work that she's done.
K.M. Hunter Award.
Yeah, for the K.M. Hunter Award, and that was awesome. And I saw her at Sam's Delicatessen, at Sam's Place, and she's like, wow, man, it's, you know, I'm getting the award, but really, it's... This goes out to all of Peterborough because, you know, we all have each other's back and we're all there on all these projects and we can't do it alone. You're right. It is an incredible scene that way. We're going to get to the Peterborough scene a bit more, but I want to talk more about the national scene for a moment. As I mentioned, you're probably best known when it comes to your arts admin work as a curator with National Gallery of Canada, which I should point out is a pretty big deal and is a pretty sweet gig. Tell me a little bit about the career path that got you there.
Well, you know, Trent has a lot to do with my career and with my path in the arts. Even though there isn't a fine arts program at Trent, there was a really fantastic art scene when I was going to school in the late 70s. There was the Mackenzie Art Gallery, the Trent Film Society. There was fantastic visitor speaking series at Peter Robinson College, artists in residence at Artonaby College. So I got to meet a lot of writers and painters and filmmakers. You know, I think in some ways I couldn't have had a better education in the arts. And, you know, went away, worked for a dance company, worked for a publishing house, came back to Peterborough, worked for Arbor Theatre for a summer. And then I worked at the Canadian Images Film Festival that was headquartered at Peter Robinson College at Trent. So I'm really self-taught in film. Mm-hmm. And, boy, both Tony Van Hokel, who was the chief controller for Trent, and... Oh, God, his name I'm going to forget. It worked at Quaker Oats, but he trained me at Arbor Theatre. So
very cool.
Peterborough was where I learned the tricks of the trade and kind of got to break into the art scene. And, you know, Ottawa came after that.
And what kind of stuff, I mean, you were associate curator for media arts, and that was in the contemporary art department. What kind of stuff were you bringing into Ottawa?
Well, you know, one thing I want to say about my experience in Ottawa that was really precious, that was sort of like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, I happened to be hired at the National Gallery right when the new building was opening. Mm-hmm. So as part of that project, they had extra money to hire a media arts curator because they hadn't had one up until then. So my job was to take care of the collection and to design programming and exhibitions and educational activities for film, video, and media arts, so mm-hmm. digital-based or computer-based arts. Mostly I concentrated on Canadian art and artists, but I did do some international work. Yep. Did a big exhibition. It was actually curated by Cameron Bailey, who's now with TIFF, but we did a big exhibition of British independent film and video. But lots and lots of Canadian work, and both single-channel video and installation. We had a really elegant, specifically designed video room. It's gone now, I'm sad to say, but it was gorgeous.
We'll get it back.
We should. And then there was a lovely sort of 60-seat theater that was perfect for experimental film downstairs.
Well, and you talk about experimental film. When you think of Canada, and when you think of Canada particularly in the 1980s and early 90s, well, it's pretty mainstream and conventional. What was audience reaction to some of the new media that was being brought into the National Gallery at the time?
Well, you know, I think I was. It's funny that you mentioned that because I just read an old article in Cinema Canada magazine from the mid '80s. And it was this fight between Peter Harcourt, who you might remember, mm-hmm. who was sort of the grandfather of Canadian film criticism, and who started thinking about Canadian directors the same way we were thinking about French directors at the time, sort of as auteurs.
Yeah.
Big fight between him and Bruce Elder. So I would say what was interesting about being at the National Gallery was not so much the form of the media, but just the fact that Canadian artists were producing these works. Because you have to remember, this is before TIFF had a Canadian program,
yeah.
before there's the internet. You know, there mm-hmm. just wasn't access to these artworks. So I can't really say that one was more important, but it was just an excitement around Canadian work. One of the great things about the National Gallery was the opportunity to bring artists to come and speak. And some of those artists, a lot of those artists, were fantastic with audiences. So
yeah.
even if people were kind of hostile about an experimental film, people like David Rimmer from Vancouver, they were just so gracious and open and lovely. And by the time they were finished talking about their work, people were begging, wanting to know when the next experimental film program would be.
That's great. I mean, so the National... And you kind of changed directions for a bit because you went from the National Gallery, which is kind of an outwards-facing organization, to Canada Council for the Arts, which is a bit more inward-looking. It's an organization that's helping artists succeed. How did you see that transition?
Well, sometimes I think I never should have left the National Gallery. It was a pretty sweet gig. But the media arts section was quite new at the Canada Council. Things were a little bumpy mm-hmm. there. And so I was under a fair amount of pressure from the community to take on that job. And I guess what was exciting about that is that you had a feeling not just of helping the public know and understand the work being done by artists in Canada, which we certainly did at the National Gallery through exhibition, but that you could play a role in helping them create. So that was the most exciting thing for me.
Absolutely.
That every day I could go in and think, what I'm doing today is going to help somebody make a work of art. How can I make it easier? How can I make it more accessible? How can I make it a more positive experience, a fairer experience for them? And I had a really lucky, I had a great team in the media arts section at the Canada Council and under a great director for a good part of the time, Joyce Siemens from York University.
So these stints that you just had, they're both media-based, are followed up by a decade curating media arts for Oakville Galleries and then another term managing media arts for Flying Squad, a capacity-building program, again with the Canada Council. Tell me a bit about the word media and what that means to you, because it seems to be associated with your name an awful lot during this part of your career.
Well, this hasn't happened everywhere in the world, but in Europe and in Canada, not so much in the United States. There was a real moment when people working with film and video and digital media kind of separated themselves from the traditional practices of the media arts, or sorry, of the visual arts. So if you kind of, if you're an art historian and you're going back and you're looking, or if you're a researcher and you want to understand how funding worked, you start to see funding for media artists coming through sometimes the literary programs at the arts councils and sometimes mm-hmm. through the visual arts programs. So money going to video artists came through visual arts, money going to filmmakers through English mm-hmm. because of film studies programs coming out of English studies programs in the universities. But by the late 90s, both the Canada Council and the Ontario Arts Council and the federal government had really made that division. So visual arts was standalone, and media arts really took care of film, video, radio. Mm-hmm. We funded radio programming. I think I brought in the first funding for radio programs cool. like the ones done at Trent Radio. Sound installation, sound landscaping, all of that kind of thing came through our department. When I started at the Canada Council in 1990, while you could get little project grants for distribution or exhibition, mm-hmm. there were no distribution or exhibition programs. Hmm. And now, of course, there are. The Canada Council and the Ontario Arts Council fund lots of festivals as well as individual exhibition projects.
Let's talk about that for a second, because you were talking about the bumpy nature of Canada Arts Council, and I look at our government right now and how our Canada Arts Council is funded. You're a person who's worked for Canada Council of the Arts, National Film Board, Federal Department of Canadian Heritage, National Archives, Ontario Arts Council, Saskatchewan Arts Council, BC Arts Council, Telefilm. Well, how do you see the funding landscape right now for arts programs and artists? What kind of situation are we looking at today in the world?
Well, I mean, I think the tough thing is that at the Canada Council and at the Ontario Arts Council, for example, the funding has held. Even in BC, it's been threatened a couple of times, but the money has held. The interesting thing, or the tough thing to get your head around, is that the demand for funding has gone way up. Audiences across the board have gone way up. Not in every area. Symphony orchestra audiences are declining, but if you look at the overall picture, more and more kids are going into art schools or going into fine arts programs. But when the money is flat, that still poses a problem because the demand is way higher than the money available. Sometimes it's hard for the councils to be tough and let go of organizations mm-hmm. that aren't doing well anymore and reinvest in the new ones. And just getting the message out there that it is a competition, both for individuals and for organizations, and providing the kind of support that people need through the Flying Squad program or through Leadership for Change or Compass. What do people need to be successful in a really tough environment? So one exciting thing I want to talk about, though, is municipalities.
Yes.
So there's been an incredible growth in support for arts, culture, and heritage at the municipal level, including here in Peterborough.
Well, I was going to get to that, but why don't we get to that now? Because there's EC3, mm-hmm. which is something I know that you're behind. You've been a part of a lot of arts organizations. In fact, I've known you through lots of arts organizations that I've been a part of, from the now well-defunct Peterborough Arts Umbrella to Public Energy, which was formerly Peterborough New Dance, to Arts, Culture, and Heritage. You name it, you've been there. And now we have a newer initiative moving forward, and that's EC3. Why don't you tell us a bit about
that? Electric City Culture Council.
That's the one.
A really exciting initiative. This has come out of the City of Peterborough's Municipal Cultural Plan, which did a lot of consultations, made a number of recommendations, and one of the most important ones mm-hmm. was the formation of a Municipal Arts Council. So this is an independent body. It receives funding from the city, from the province. We just got some money from the Community Foundation of Greater Peterborough, and I think we have 50 paid members now,
wow.
different organizations in Peterborough, and really bringing that whole sector together so that people can have joint communications, they can do professional development, they can work on projects together, so they can speak with one voice on different issues. Something that we've wanted in Peterborough for a long time. As you know, there's been a number of attempts, but it's never been successful before. So I'm really excited. There's a terrific group of people. Bill Kimball is chairing the board. Finn Leach is vice chair of the board. She's with the Art Gallery of Peterborough. Mm-hmm. Randy Reed from New Stages. Yvonne from the New Canadian Centre. It's a really great group of people. We've got some more board members coming on. And EC3 is going to deliver Arts Week this year.
Oh, great.
Which is kind of fun for me because I was a co-founder of Arts Week with Liz Burke in 2005. And we just finished the juries for that. And there are some fantastic, fantastic fun projects coming up.
I'm pretty excited about that because, you know, it takes an army to put on something like Arts Week. And sometimes that army hasn't always been there. And it's great to see some new structure to that. But please, go on.
It's okay. No, Liz Fennell is coordinating Blink, which is a project that will take place in storefronts all along George Street. And Laurel Pollock is coordinating Alleyway Waltz. And then I think we just kind of... we opened up two new programs this year. One was called Community Roots, and I think there are three or four projects that are sort of based on the ideas of artists working with different neighborhoods or mm-hmm. communities. And then just a new ideas category, and I think there were 23 projects that came forward. I'm not sure how many have been selected, but I couldn't believe how many and how great they were. So the arts in Peterborough is alive and well, and as I say, things can happen here that just couldn't happen anywhere else.
Well, that's been the case for a long time, and I've always enjoyed, again, that kinetic energy that I mentioned for the Peterborough community. But it also is a big part of the Trent community, and it's wonderful how those two worlds really, really overlap. You were honored with a Distinguished Alumni Award through the Alumni Association. First of all, how does it feel to be recognized by your peers?
Well, the exciting thing about that was to be recognized by my alma mater.
Yes.
And to have people, it was John Wadland, a Canadian Studies professor, who made that nomination. So it really meant a lot because it was someone who knows and understands the Canadian art scene and who valued the contribution I'd been able to make to that art scene. And it was great because I learned a lot of what I know and understand in John's classes, both in terms of content and in terms of the ability to talk about ideas in the art. Because when you're an officer or a head of section at the Canada Council or even a curator at the National Gallery, a lot of what you have to do involves explaining art to other people, often to people who don't know it. So it meant a tremendous amount. And Trent does it up so well that it's a very special occasion, and it meant a great deal to me.
Lovely. Thank you very much. One more question. I mean, I take a look at your background. You're a person who has remained busy at all times. At the national level, at the local level, you're always pushing things forward. What's up next for Sudita?
Well, thanks for asking, because tomorrow, June 23rd.
This is an accidental plug, I should note.
That's right. At the Peterborough Public Library from 11:30 to 1:30. So this is something new, something hot. I'm very excited about it. It's one of EC3's cultural incubator programs, and it's called The Art of Inclusion. And it's a project that we've been working on with the support of people from the Council for Persons with Disabilities in Peterborough. And we're having a great panel discussion with M. Glasspool, Jess Satch, Eliza Chandler, and Clara Eastcott. And Clara and Eliza are from Tangled Art and Disability in Toronto. Jess, a lot of people remember because they were, I think, the editor of Arthur and involved in Trent Radio and just did a lot of activities as a student at Trent. It's a dynamite panel, and we're packed. We have over 65 people registered to come and talk together as a group about what everyone can do to be more open and more inclusive for persons with disabilities, and what kind of art are people interested in making and getting exhibited. And I think it's going to be a big eye-opener for everybody.
It sounds like it's going to be a great affair indeed. Sue Ditta, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. What a great show. This is fabulous.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, and I know that we'll chat again soon. If not on the radio, then at a gallery somewhere.
Or on a patio.
Or on a patio.
Thanks very much.